Welcome back to Table Talk. I'm Alan, and in the studio with me now is Dr. Michael Smith from Carolina's Natural Health Center in Matthews. He's a naturopathic doctor, and this morning we're going to talk about weight loss. I had you in last week. I think I'm going to have you in again for the next couple of weeks because we have a few things that we can talk about here that would benefit a lot of people. So first, I want to thank you for coming in this morning, Dr. Smith.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
And for people that may not have heard you before, don't know much about naturopathy, what is a naturopathic doctor actually?
A naturopathic doctor is a physician who's trained like a primary care doctor, but they really take a different approach in that they focus on treating the person and the individual rather than trying to treat the symptoms or the illness that's presenting itself. You really take a very holistic approach in that we treat the entire person. And so we know very well how the body works and we know how to work with the body. And we utilize natural means to help to support the body's own healing, to really restore it back to a place of optimal health.
And you do it for the individual. Again, you're not treating mass group mentality. It's you look at the individual, what kind of symptoms they have and what things actually affect them as opposed to how it may affect someone else. Mm-hmm. So you kind of fine tune into the individual to try to get them back to normal again and living a healthy life.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, someone comes in to see us for migraines, for example. You know, the reality is I don't know how to treat just their migraine. I only know how to treat everything about them, and their migraines get better and go away.
Well, this morning, I want to talk about weight loss, and that's something that's affecting a lot of people, as we all know, and childhood obesity is getting worse and worse, it seems. So what can you tell us about weight loss this morning and the importance of having at least a good solid weight? You don't need to be skinny, but you should at least be at a healthy weight to have a normal, long life.
Yes. Yeah. You know, weight and obesity has really become an epidemic in our society. I mean, now over 2/3 of Americans are overweight or obese. And, you know, as we've all heard from the statistics and the media, you know, there's increasing risk of diabetes and heart disease and cancer. And these are all associated with carrying around excess weight. And so it's really a problem. And honestly, when you look at the majority of our health conditions and diseases that we are dealing with in this country, most of them, many of them are because of excess weight. And so we want to be able to start to figure, okay, what have we done that's gotten us here? That's a problem. And now what do we need to do to start to reverse that so we can begin to lose the weight and reduce our risk of cancer and heart disease and diabetes?
The weight problems that we are seeing, I'm sure it's a combination, but do you think it's more of the actual diet or is it more of the sedentary lifestyle that people are leaving? Years ago, people did a lot more walking. You know, you didn't drive everywhere. You had a local store and, you know, in your neighborhood that people would walk to. You would hang out because you didn't have 150 channels on the television to watch and the internet. You know, people just got outside more, whether you were a kid or an adult. So what's the biggest contributor to the weight gains that we've seen as a society, do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely is both of those. You know, the foods we eat and what's happened with our nutrition and the limited exercise that we get these days. But if I had to choose one, that's probably the biggest factor. It comes down to the food we eat. Because when you look at what's happened with our food system over the last 50 years, it has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are now consuming foods that are highly processed, that are primarily controlled by very few companies. And the nutritional value in these foods has gone down significantly. And as we've processed these foods more and more, what's happened as a result is that there's much higher levels of sugar in them, of processed carbohydrates, of artificial flavors and colors and preservatives that are having a significantly negative impact on our health. And so when it comes to obesity, what's happened is kind of several things. You know, there's been a significant increase in the amount of sugar that we're consuming. You know, the latest stats that I looked at, which are now about 10 years old, and so I'm sure it's gone up since then, mm-hmm. is that the average amount of sugar consumption per person per year in the United States is over 150 pounds.
Wow.
And we're consuming over 150 pounds of sugar per person per year. That's average. So I know I'm not eating 150 pounds of sugar a year. So I know someone else is consuming my portion of that sugar.
I'm guessing I might be consuming more than that. Actually, I don't know. I don't drink a lot of soft drinks. I usually have maybe at max two a day on a bad day. But, you know, sugar in my coffee. I have 2 cups of coffee every morning with sugar in that. And then, as you said, with all the foods that I'm eating, I've never really thought about the amount of sugar that I'm consuming, because if I'm not spooning it in, I guess I don't really think about it.
Yeah, and that's what really what's happened, is that sugar has become present in almost all foods. And it's become really a hidden ingredient in foods because people haven't paid attention to realize it. And it's in foods that you wouldn't expect sugar to be in. Like, now, why is there sugar in a loaf of bread?
But now, I'm just asking, is sugar really bad for you, or is it just too much sugar is bad for you? Because I'm the type of person that if I had tea and I was going to sweeten it, I'm going to put sugar in it before I'm going to put this chemical packet in there, because sugar is natural. This, I don't want to name the brands, but you know, all the brands that are out there, that's just a bunch of chemicals. So Is it the amount of sugar, or is sugar really that bad?
I mean, some of both, but certainly, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing to have something sweet once in a while. But the problem is that we now have everything sweet all the time. And what's happened as a result is that we're constantly eating sweet. And we've really kind of retrained our taste buds to taste sweet and only sweet. And so when we taste something and it's not sweet, we don't think it tastes good. And that's really become the issue with it, is, you know, when you go out to eat, and say you have some pizza or something like that, well, not only is there sugar in the sauce, mm-hmm. but there's sugar in the dough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a soup out at a restaurant, you know, there's a ton of salt in there, but there's also a bunch of sugar that's added. You don't taste it because of all the salt. And, you know, the companies that produce our foods know that we want things sweet and have put more sugar into things. And, you know, certainly sugar itself as a straight ingredient is in there, but the other oftentimes used ingredients is a lot cheaper is high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
Which is a even heftier dose of sugar and sweetener and things.
And, you know, you look back at human history, just in our country alone, just a couple of hundred years ago, you know, sugar was not cheap. If you used sugar, you used it sparingly. If people that wanted it something sweet to eat usually ate fruits. You know, they were lucky to get chocolate once every couple of years back then. That was, it was so expensive and so rare that you didn't just go to the drugstore and buy a whole pound bag of chocolate and go home and pig out on it. So it sounds like this is something that we've done to ourselves slowly over time, just as we've gotten more rich as a country, I guess you could say, that we've kind of indulged in these things that aren't natural for humans to consume in that at that level.
Yeah, definitely. And that has been the result. Plus, you know, just in the sugar, there's also all the refined carbohydrates that we've, you know, pumped into our diet. And, you know, we're eating more and more refined carbohydrates in the forms of the breads and pastas and crackers and all those things like that are made from primarily wheat and corn, which are the oftentimes used ingredients in those foods. And these are highly refined carbohydrates. It's not like you're eating a pile of grains where there's still all the fiber and the bran and the good essential oils in there that are helping to support your body's health. It's been processed down so that you're just having kind of this powdery, almost pure sugar left in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people may be familiar with the term glycemic index, which refers to how quickly a food substance hits your bloodstream how quickly the food substance sugar hits your bloodstream. And so they base it on sugar being the baseline. And so straight sugar hits your bloodstream at a level of 100. And so that's how they use it. Well, white bread has a glycemic index of 106.
Hmm.
So it hits your bloodstream faster than sugar does because of how highly processed it is. And this is really kind of where the problem comes from, is because we're eating more and more and more grains. And even if you pay attention to the government guidelines, they recommend you have, you know, something like 8 to 12 servings of grains a day, which is not normal. This is not what we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should be primarily fruits and vegetables. And yes, it's okay to have a serving or two a day of some whole grains. And I prefer the grains to look like they're whole, to look like grains, you know, like brown rice or millet or quinoa or things like that people can find and use.
Again, this is a situation where if you don't know, you don't realize that you're eating bad. There's a lot of white breads out there that if you read the package, it makes it look like, you know, this is healthy. It's got calcium in it. Eat this bread and all this stuff. But yeah, I had no clue that the bread got to your bloodstream, the sugar in the bread got to your bloodstream faster than straight sugar could. And that, it comes down to education. You know, we're not, as a society, we're not studying how to eat properly. We were just going to the store and reading the packaging, assuming that they're not lying to us or not covering something up by telling you, well, this is great in this box, but they're not telling you what's bad in the box.
Yeah. I mean, we're really not taught how to eat. You know, I mean, there isn't nutrition training, any solid nutrition training in our schools. And we're certainly not taught that as adults.
And well, yeah, the school lunches alone, I mean, that's a perfect example right there.
It is. It is abysmal.
Well, and even the stuff that they cook, and they now have fast food places and pizza chains serving in the schools. And yeah, if I was 13, 14, 15 years old, I'm not going to eat the school mess. I'm going to go over to the, the fast food chain or get me some pizza or something. That's just normal childhood behavior. So again, it comes down to education and offering the right kind of foods to the kids too, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the time to really start, is with our kids, because we can have the greatest impact with them. And as you mentioned, childhood obesity is a growing problem. And estimates are that for children born after the year 2000, 1 out of 3 are going to become obese and diabetic.
And anyone listening right now, just start counting the number of people that you know, whether you know them personally or you know of them, that has diabetes. I could probably come up with a dozen right now, and 4 of them are in my family. So which means I need to change my ways so that I don't end up becoming diabetic as I get older, hopefully. But when I was growing up, I remember one teacher in the sixth grade, that had diabetes. And I don't think I met another person with diabetes until I graduated high school.
Yeah.
I graduated early 90s. It seems like this is a phenomenon that's happened in the last 20 or 30 years that it's really gotten this bad.
It absolutely has. And it's continued to get worse. But, the good news about it is that it's completely preventable.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ability to change and to prevent diabetes and prevent obesity and prevent heart disease and prevent cancer.
We only have a couple of minutes left. And I hate to say, just to sum it up, but just quickly, if you're going to the grocery store, we should eat whole foods. That's just natural whole foods. So I'm guessing what you want people to understand is if it's in a box or a bag, you probably shouldn't be eating it anyway if it's processed anyway. That's the key, is to eat whole food so that you know what you're putting in your body.
Yeah, definitely. And when you go to the grocery store, an easy tip is to shop around the perimeter of the store.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're going to find most of the food. The stuff in the middle of the stores isn't really food anymore. It's just more food stuff. And so looking for your produce, your fruits and vegetables, filling up your shopping cart with that. Get familiar with this stuff. If you're not sure, what it is, there's plenty of wonderful resources online and recipes and different cooking shows that you can tune into to get an idea of what to do with it. Or we also offer some cooking support and courses through our office that you can find out more about. But eating whole foods, foods that are don't come in a package and are straight from the earth is what we want to be eating.
And especially nowadays with the internet and everything, all the health books that are out there, the diet magazines, there's enough information out there that you can learn how to eat properly now, as opposed to 15, 20 years ago when you just assumed the 5 major food groups, right, you needed to worry about. And now we find out that dairy, really, you shouldn't focus on that much. But if you take the time to read and learn what is healthy to put in your body, and as you said, we're all trained to eat stuff that tastes good at this point. So this isn't going to happen overnight, but the more education you can get, the more you can learn how this is negatively affecting your body and maybe even your children's body. If you have children, you can start taking the steps to start eating a healthier diet. The last few weeks, I've made a major change. Me and my girlfriend have started eating nothing but healthy food for the most part. I've slipped up a couple of times, but that's what I'm getting at. Don't expect to just turn around and do it right off the bat, but at least start learning what to put in your body and what not to put in your body. And especially it goes back to the kids. If you have children, if you can get that set in at an early age and get them eating healthy right out of the gate, then when they're 30, 40, 50 years old, chances are they're still going to be eating healthy and then raising their children to eat healthy. It's a learning process that we're now going through because we are seeing the benefits of all this processed food that we've been consuming for the last 20 or 30 years. I'm going to have to wrap this up, but I think I'll have to have you in again next week, and we'll figure out another good topic to tell everyone about. I want to thank my guest once again, Dr. Michael Smith from Carolina's Natural Health Center in Matthews. And if you would like to get in touch with him, how can they get in touch with you?
Our in-caller office, our phone number is 704-708-4404, or you can find us on the web at www.carolinasnaturalhealth.com.
Thank you so much for coming in, and I'll see you again next week.
Thanks, Alan.